Good morning. Welcome to Faith Community, United Methodist Church. It is good to be with you on this beautiful Sunday of February. Just inched into February just a day ago. I want you to think about this. How big is my God? How big is my God? Is God big enough to put in a box and put on the shelf in your house? Only big enough to put in your purse or into your backpack? Or is God so much bigger? I want you to be thinking about that today as we think about God as our refuge this morning. Let's turn to our announcements. Make sure you check the calendar for anything that may be going on. There's cards out for our college students. If you would sign those, that would be wonderful. We also want to remind you about bringing your coins in next week. And be thinking about the upcoming events for Mary and Martha. And the make sure you know the Women United and Dorcas Circle are not meeting this month. The Men of Faith will be. I do want to point your attention to the Bishop's District event. It is for everyone. The clergy are meeting in the morning, but everyone else is meeting in the afternoon. And it'll be a time for us to meet our new bishop in a different way to see kind of what his vision is. And I encourage you to go to that. It's on the 22nd. And we also are going to be installing our superintendent. And as superintendent, she just became our superintendent on January 1st. And this will be her installation service at 4 o'clock that day. Your session, the lady session, will begin right after that. So think that is something that you could make. I would encourage it. Also, there's our Mary and Martha retreat that's coming up in March. And those registration forms are out in the Narthex. So I encourage you ladies to take one of those with you and be considering that in March for something that would be very good for you. With that, let us put our minds on worship as we receive the prayer.
Thank you. Good morning. Please rise and join with me in the call to worship found in your bulletin. Let us gather to listen deeply.
Word of God, speak.
Let us gather with childlike faith.
Ageless wisdom, reveal.
Word of God, speak.
Your servants are listening.
Please remain standing and join with us in the opening hymn, How Firm a Foundation, found in your hymnal 529. Please join with me in the opening prayer found in your bulletin. God of love and life, speak to our hearts this day. Speak words of wisdom and faith. Open our hearts and minds to perceive your message of love, even when it's hard to hear. Strengthen our faith to answer your call, even when we don't feel confident or capable. Be our wisdom, our strength, and our love, that we may bring your wisdom, strength, and love to the world. Amen. Children, can you please come forward and join with me in the children's moment? I like saying things all together, but sometimes I really am thinking about the words so much that I'm slowing down. And I think I was, that last sentence was slow. And the congregation was like, pick up. Come on, Chad, pick up. So I'm going to reread this. Be our wisdom, our strength, and our love, that we may bring your wisdom, strength, and love to the world. That is a great message. Pastor asked us all at the beginning of this service, how big is your God? And we, Luke and I, were driving back from Toledo to, from his grandma's house to church this morning, and I had a similar thought. Where do we see God? So I have a question. So I'm gonna talk one more sentence, and I'm gonna ask a question. God sometimes is someone that also is someone that helps us feel safe. And I think Pastor later is gonna talk about a safe place and how we could be a safe place. So here's my question. Where do you feel safe in this world?
In God.
That is a great answer. Where else do you feel safe? And this could be anywhere, any place, around anybody. It could be small, it could be big.
Around my family.
Around my family. Any others? Where else do we feel safe? I feel safe in my bed. I do. It's a safe place. And on the way home, thinking about just what was going to be on the front of this bulletin and thinking about my whole life, I know I feel safe in my home, and I'm thankful that all my homes I've had with my loved ones, I've felt safe there. And my hope for you is that you do too. And on my way home from Luke's grandma's house, I'm going to tell you a story. Luke, we were in Wooster, Ohio, and Luke said, "Hey, Dad, Wooster to Toledo is only 2 hours and 12 minutes, and home is only 2 hours and 12 minutes. Can we go visit Grandma?" And he really wanted to see Grandma and Grandpa. And we just took a little road trip. And that was because he really missed Grandma and Grandpa. And he, and that kind of, my thought was that he feels safe there. And then later today, he's going to go be able to see his other grandma. And I know that he feels safe there. And I was thinking about that. Those safe places are places where how big our God is, we see God in those places. And it's taught me in my life how to try to be God, be, in a way, a safe place for others, just like my grandmas have been a safe place for me. And how they've been extension for Jesus and God in my life. So this week, think about where is your safe place and where are your safe people. And maybe in a small way, how could you be a safe place or a safe people for others? Something I think about in my life, in my job, and it's something sometimes easy to do. Last question, how could you be a safe place or a safe people for others? It could be a really small thing. Anything else? One thing I have some relatives that do a really good job of, and they just say hi to people, even strangers, and it's not that hard to do. And I didn't do it all my life, but I've started to do it in the last 10 years. And it's an easy thing to make people feel safe and feel welcome. And it's something I wish I would have done earlier. So that's a tip for you if you want to try it. Do it. You could try it earlier. I wish I would have. Okay, that's it. We're going to bow our head, and we're going to say a prayer, and then we do have a choice of two different types of sweets. Jesus, thanks for letting us get together. Please let us be thankful and blessed for the safe places in our life that we see you in those places and people. Please let us be your wisdom, strength, and love to the world and a safe place to others and the world just as you are to us. In your name we pray. Amen. Sour Patch Kids or Rice Krispie Treats? Ooh, good. I mean, the Rice Krispie Treats are bigger. Yep, good choice. Okay, please join with us in the prayer hymn, "Take My Life and Let It Be," hymn number 399. Thank you.
So let's go before our Lord as we consider how big God is and where we go. Let us pray. Almighty God, God who is indescribable, God who is uncontainable, God who is omnipresent, all-powerful, all-wise. Lord, we think about this as ourselves many times, thinking that all these things are ours. So we go about life thinking that we have it all figured out. But Lord, as life occurs and happens, we end up finding out that that's not the case. That there are all different kinds of things that can occur in our lives that bring us to our knees, send us fleeing whatever it may be, or finding a place to hide. All these things happen to us, and we have to make a decision. Where way do we go? Where do we turn? To who do we turn? Oh God, we call out to you this day. We want it to be you. We want to call out to you. We want to run to you. We want to hide in you. We want to be on our knees before you. Lord, all these things that happen in our lives are things that happen to everyone in one shape, form, or another. They're all things that draw us to looking for help. The psalmist says, "From where does my help come?" We want to know it is you. You teach us that it is you. You make all kinds of signs for us to know that it is you. You actually poured out your Holy Spirit upon us so that we would know it was you. So Lord, give us that courage to know. Open our minds and our hearts to you. Whether it is grief, misunderstanding, looking for direction, all these things are things that we can come to you. Find our safe space. So Lord, call us in. Open our ears so that we can hear. Open our minds that we can truly understand. And our hearts to be motivated to come before you. You are the one and the only that we can find our refuge. Let us now pray with the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever." And now, friends, as we respond to the love that we've received, may we feel at peace when we give a portion of what has been given to us back to the Lord. Ushers, would you please wait upon us? Please join together in the prayer of dedication. Bless these gifts, O God, with your love, your strength, and your presence. May the ministries this offering supports be a sign of your love, strength, and presence in the world. Amen. You may be seated.
Technology, right? I'm going to be singing a song this morning that is specifically related to communion. So as I sing, I just encourage you to listen with an open heart and use it as a time of preparation to hear the word and for communion this morning. My body given for you. This is the cup that holds the blood of a new covenant. This is forgiveness, simple and true. This is the way that I have made for you. Before you eat, before you drink, take a long look inside and tell me what you see. He said, do this in remembrance of me. Do this in remembrance of me. This is the bread of life broken for you. This is the cup that holds the word of a new covenant. This is the love of Christ poured out anew. This is the way of God who died for you. Before you eat, before you drink, take a long look inside and tell me what you see. Then do this in remembrance of me. Do this in remembrance of me. I will remember the cross that you bore for me. I will remember the crown that you wore for me. I will remember the reason you suffered and died. This is my body given for you. This is the cup that holds the blood of a new covenant. This is forgiveness, simple and true. This is the way that I have made for you. I am the way,
This is the way that I have made for you.
Thanks, Suzanne and Pam. Please join. I'm sorry. The scripture reading, you don't have to join me. I'll read it to you. The scripture reading is Psalm 71, verses 1 through 6. Prayer for lifelong protection and help. In you, O Lord, I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me and rescue me. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be to me a rock of refuge, a strong fortress to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Rescue me, O my Lord, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of the unjust and cruel. For you, O Lord, are my hope, my trust, O Lord, from my youth. From my birth I have leaned upon you, my protector since my mother's womb. My praise is continually of you. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen.
Well, several weeks ago, I selected this psalm as the scripture for this Sunday, as well as the title of my sermon. The primary reason I was drawn to it was the result of the conversations the ad board has been having since October. The topic of our discussion is about faith community's place in our community and our response of outreach ministry to connect with it. Part of our conversation was asking ourselves who we wanted to be and what we could offer. At first, we noted various programs such as preschool, sport camps, open gym, music events, senior events, ESL classes, support groups, and others. At some point, we shifted our discussion, recognizing that all these things are possibilities, but we didn't just want to be a place where these things took place. Someone spoke up and suggested faith community should be a safe space for our community to gather. This comment caught our attention. I would suggest the Holy Spirit highlighted this to us. It seemed like a simple statement, but it became a focal point of future conversations. In January, when Ad Board met, we centered our conversation on how faith community would define a safe space. We looked at several scriptures as inspiration, including this psalm that we are looking at today. As we read through the various verses, we listened for descriptor words that we felt God's word revealed what God offered as a safe place, safe space to the world. With these words in mind, we came up with multiple working definitions. Now, the next time we meet, we plan to agree on a single definition of a safe space, which we can use as our guide going forward, as our baseline for all that we do, whether it is internally or externally focused. So today, I want to look at this psalm with you, which focuses on God as our refuge to help us understand more about being a safe space, a refuge in the likeness of God. In these few verses of the 24 that this psalm offers, we will be able to see what are some attributes of the safe space we find in the Lord. Now, it is helpful for us to keep in mind that these words in our Bible well, they come from a real person. We don't know specifically who, since this psalm was written anonymously, but from the whole context, it is clear that the person who wrote this was advanced in age, and throughout their days, God was central to their life. With that in mind, we can trust that the psalmist spoke from experience, as one who understood their need of refuge and where to find it. This psalm is considered to be a lament, where a lament is a prayer that is an expression of sorrow, pain, or concern. It is also poetry, so it is filled with metaphors that are drawn from the writer's context, which may not always be clear to us if we only take our perspective into consideration. You see, as readers, it is our responsibility to consider the author's point of view to truly capture the meaning behind their words. So the psalmist began praying, "In you, O Lord, I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame." If you are like me, then you don't really know what it is like to be a person in need of refuge in the same way as the psalm writer. However, if we consider the history of ancient Israel, we can put together the story that shaped the psalmist's understanding. If we first consider a refugee as someone who is displaced from a place of belonging, then we can see throughout the story of the Hebrew people and later the nation of Israel how they spent much of their lives as refugees. Think about it. From the time Abraham left his home in Ur, he lived as a foreigner. Jacob's family story takes the Israelites to Egypt as foreigners and eventually slaves. Moses' story, from the time he was a baby, he was displaced. And then he wandered in the wilderness with the Israelites, freed from slavery on their way to the promised land, which Moses never entered. The nation of Israel was exiled to other nations for years, longing to return to their home. You see, often as foreigners in another land, or as refugees in exile, they experienced hardship, disrespect, and even worse. So when the psalmist makes the plea not to experience shame, we can be assured that he understood shame from a place of feeling unwanted and unworthy by others. However, he also knew, even if the world around him didn't want him, God was his refuge, his safe space. The Lord offers acceptance. Acceptance as we are and who we are. God doesn't turn people away who come looking for a safe space. So thank goodness that is the case. Otherwise, we wouldn't have anywhere to turn. The more we understand our need for refuge in the Lord, the more likely we will be able to accept people into our lives and our church, regardless of who they are. Think about it like this. All of humanity, now that includes us, are refugees from the Garden of Eden. And Jesus, our Lord and Savior, is bringing us home. And as Jesus' disciples and His church, we are partners in His mission and ministry to bring other refugees along with us. To be a safe space, we must offer acceptance to people in our community that is genuine and non-judgmental and comes with a promise of never shaming anyone. This means no rolling of our eyes, no attempts to avoid contact, no side conversations about people. Rather, we intentionally approach folks, make eye contact, so they know they are seen, and offer a welcoming gesture with an accepting spirit to express they belong here. Are we a safe space for our neighbors? We might be, but does our community know it? How will we show them? The psalmist also prayed to the Lord, "In your righteousness, deliver me and rescue me. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be to me a rock, a refuge, a strong fortress to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress." The psalmist who was seeking refuge in the Lord came to the Lord with an expectation of being heard. He knew he could come to the Lord to share his story, his situation. He believed God would hear him out and consider what was right from God's eyes, where God can see everything and everyone without prejudice. Now, as a refugee, it's likely that the psalmist had experienced unfair treatment and an unwillingness to have his story heard, where those in authority only considered what was a benefit to them. See, his story didn't matter. But in the Lord, the psalmist experienced true righteousness, which is right and just for everyone. Everyone is heard, not just the selected. God is God of all. The Lord provides justice for all. Now, when we call on the name of Jesus Christ, our perspective extends beyond ourselves to consider the whole world as a matter of concern. As God's children and Jesus' advocates for justice in the world, we must be ready to hear the stories of others without any preconceived understanding or judgment. We can't turn a blind eye to situations that don't directly affect us. If we pay attention, we can recognize unjust situations. We can see. We can see injustices experienced by people. People in Gaza, in Ukraine, in Syria, and other Middle East countries. In African countries, in South and Central America, in Mexico, in the United States. And yes, even here in our surrounding communities. We need to understand justice isn't about our benefit. It's about the righteousness that God is sharing with us. The challenge and call for us is to choose to stand with God and those who are seeking a safe space where their story will be heard and justice will be sought for those we hear. How might we incline our ears to those asking to be delivered and saved? To whom might that be? Could we be a safe space for someone in distress? The psalmist then cried out to the Lord, praying, "Rescue me, O my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of the unjust and the cruel. For you, O Lord, are my hope, my trust, O Lord, from my youth. From my birth I have leaned upon you, my protector, since my mother's womb. My praise continually for you." I think we underestimate the protection that our mother's womb gave us. You see, when we were in the womb, we weren't aware of the various levels of protection that stopped infectious disease, prevented physical damage, moderated the environment, and gave us room to mature, all of which provided a real sense of peace. But then once we are born, we can only cry out to express how much we miss that feeling. Out of the womb, we discover that in the world and among the people of the world, there is no escape from what the psalmist calls the wicked, unjust, and cruel. The psalmist made the connection that God is the only one who could restore that protection we experienced in the womb. The protection is not the same, of course, but the experience that we have within our minds and our hearts is. It is peace. The Lord is our security. Why is the Lord a secure space for us? Or better yet, how does the Lord become a safe space for us? It comes when we experience the Lord's lavish grace. When we experience the Lord's steadfast love, the trustworthiness, the faithfulness, consistency, and availability. Through our own growing relationship with Jesus, our Lord, we gain this confidence in who God is, and our hope in Him can never be taken, from us, regardless of what the world does to threaten our security in the Lord. However, before people have the security in the Lord, they are always looking for someone or some place to provide some kind of appearance of safety. Are we, the people of faith community, prepared to provide this space for our community? Are we able to invite and nurture long-standing relationships with others in our community, offering grace and love to them consistently and repetitively, all the while directing them to the Lord, Jesus Christ, where we find our security? How do we create a safe space that allows people to experience the security that we have in the Lord? These are questions faith community needs to answer in the near future so we can be a safe space our community wants to be in. The psalmist opened our eyes today and our hearts to the safe space that we can find in the Lord. And as I've shared with you, there are three foundational attributes that are revealed to us that we can set in place to build a safe space for us and anyone we meet. They are acceptance, justice, and security. Let us lean upon the Lord, our protector, our refuge, more and more, so that we can be individually and corporately a safe space for all. Amen. Wait up, Chad.
Oh, yeah.
Communion first. Friends, we now have the opportunity to gather around our safe space. The Lord invites us to the table to experience more fully what it means to be within Him. It is here that we know that we can be secure. So as we come to the table, let us prepare ourselves. Prepare ourselves for being able to come to the table in a way that we can lay aside all those things that we know within us that are not a part of who we are supposed to be in Christ. So just in a moment of silence, let us put those things aside. The Lord died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. It is in the name of Jesus Christ that we are forgiven. Amen. As we consider the story that we all have been a part of, that's what we were talking about today, being able to hear the story, our story, the story that is laid out in our Scriptures. We can see how God has pursued us, even though we've turned away from the Lord. That's called prevenient grace, as the Lord comes after us, even though we may not be paying attention or looking or understanding. We have to be grateful for that. It may be a past tense from when we become aware of it. We have to be grateful for the whole story. and knowing how much God loved us and came after us. That story is long, centuries and centuries long. And we can't just put it aside and think, this is my life. We have to understand our life in the context of everything that it led us up to this time and be grateful for God's pursuit of you and me. It is in that pursuit that He came to us in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. And it is Jesus Christ who is that God in the flesh. He's the one who came for us and walked among the people and shared with them all that it is that it meant for them to be a disciple. And for that, we can be grateful. We may just be walking around not understanding what is our response. But Jesus gave that to us. He showed us the way. And called for Himself and saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Come to me. And as He gathered around the table with His friends, He shared with them a meal that they had been a part of for so long. And now we have shared this meal together for many, many times. But it is in that first meal that we understand why we come to the table. It is in that first meal He gathered His disciples and He told them, what you have experienced in this meal over the years is very important because it brought us out of slavery. This is the first meal that we had together when we came out of slavery in Egypt. And we understood who God was and what God called us to be. And in this meal, we shared bread. It was a certain kind of bread, but it was something for them to remember the haste of which they had left. But for this meal, Jesus said, there is something different about this meal. This meal is something that you should remember as well. That as He broke the bread, He says, this is my body which is broken and given to you. Every time you have this meal, remember who I am, who came for you. And after supper, He took the cup. He said, we've been in covenant with God from a long, long time ago. That covenant is different through this cup. You see, this cup, Jesus says, is my blood poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. And it is a new covenant that is made through my life that I gave to you on the cross for you. So every time you drink this cup, do this in remembrance of me. So Holy Spirit, come upon us here and upon these gifts of bread and cup, and make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by His blood. By Your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at His heavenly banquet. It is through Your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and Your holy church, all honor and glory is Yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Friends, the table is set. We'll be receiving the elements in the pews. As each of the elements have passed out, hold them until we take each one of them together. And we will be rejoicing in the Lord as we do it, because the Lord is our safe space. Find that today around this meal. This is the body of Christ. God who came in the flesh for us. Take and eat. The blood of Christ that was poured out for us so we might have life. Take and drink. Let us pray. Gracious and merciful God, we are so grateful for this meal. A meal where we gather together around the table to be in your presence. To experience your presence in a way that gives us peace and security. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please stand for our closing hymn. We are going to do something. We're going to do something a little special today. We're going to dedicate this hymn to Betty Triplett, who is the best friend of Flo Harner. She recently passed away, and Flo and AJ wanted us to dedicate this hymn to Betty. So keep her in your thoughts and prayers as we sing this. AJ said she was like a second grandma to him. So please join with us in the closing hymn, Here I Am, Lord, hymn number 593.
I'm a lot of sea and sky.
hold God's people in our hearts? Will we be willing to be that ear? Will we be that safe space for our community? Go in peace, considering that you are those people to be a safe space. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.